are busier than others. I've experienced that this week. And yet, Sunday always comes, and the Lord helps us to be ready and prepared for that time. And what a blessing it is to gather to sing His praise and to glorify His name and to share together in these things. Today, as we share from God's Word, we're going to be in John chapter 16. We've begun kind of a journey through until resurrection time. And that experience will, I think, be a blessing to us over these coming weeks. Today, I want us to remember that we're going to revisit back in John chapter 12 on Palm Sunday, because that's the celebration of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But most of these things that we're talking about right now are things that we know from the order of things in Scripture and even from the other Gospels. These things happened after the triumphal entry and in the time that Jesus spent in teaching His disciples in Jerusalem during that last week. So our sermons over these coming weeks will be looking at things that took place in that final week before Jesus was crucified and leading up to that. I want to share with you that we also have put on the calendar for this year a Good Friday service for Friday evening of Easter week. And I just wanted to share that with you right now so that you can begin thinking in that way and hopefully begin planning to set that time aside to gather for a time of worship that evening. As we open the Word today, we're going to be talking about Jesus, who is our victory and our peace. Some of our songs today very definitely have been talking about the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what we've found because of who He is and what He has done. And this message from John chapter 16, verses 25 to 33, I think we're going to be listening to Jesus reassuring His disciples that despite everything they're going to be facing, including what will happen that week, but the tribulation and struggles that they will face later on as well, they also can and will find their peace in Him because He has overcome the world. And these scriptures will tell us that. And we also will always have access to the Father through Him, through prayer. And so let's read from John the 16th chapter and beginning in verse 25. Jesus, continuing His teaching, "I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in My name, and I am not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father." And His disciples said, "Look, now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. And now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. And by this we believe that you came from God." And Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave Me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with Me. I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, be courageous. I have conquered the world." Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks for Your grace and Your abundant mercy toward us. Lord Jesus, we thank You for these words and things that You instructed for Your disciples and for all who will follow You. For we carry on the work that was given to your disciples now as the church. We carry on the ministry of teaching of who you are and about all of your wondrous works, O God. We carry on the work of guiding and leading and teaching the people who are the body of Christ, the church. Lord, we carry on, perhaps most importantly, the work that you've given to the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples. And so, Lord, as we think of these things today, we take seriously what you said to your disciples in those moments before your crucifixion, those days. And Lord, we'd ask that you might be glorified and magnified in our lives, even as we consider these truths today. Father, we thank you, and we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are several themes in this passage. I'll just kind of share those themes and then kind of give you another quick summary after that. But I think one of the first themes that we find there is that we're hearing Jesus sharing with his disciples that they will have direct access to the Father. They will have direct access to the Father. Now, there are groups in our world today and even among Christianity that don't seem to have a lot of confidence when it comes to approaching the Father, approaching the throne of grace. I'm not sure how they missed a number of those really important scriptures of how individuals have freedom and access. You see, when I pray, I don't need to go and find somebody else who's closer to God than me. I can go directly to God. I don't need to go and find somebody who wears a robe or a collar. I don't need to go and find somebody and say, I need you to take this to God for me. Because I have, through my relationship in Jesus Christ, I have a priesthood that belongs to me and allows me to approach the throne of grace with boldness. And I don't need someone else apart from what Jesus Christ has done for me. He has told us that we have access to the Father. He says, I'm going to the Father, and therefore you need to pray, and you have access to the Father. He says that his disciples will no longer speak in parables. They'll speak plainly about the Father, and that they will ask in Jesus' name, and the Father will grant their requests. And so we pray, and we often say in Jesus' name at the close of our prayers before we say amen. And it is so appropriate to do that, for it is through the work and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and in his name, we have a relationship with God, the Father, in the first place. Jesus tells us in other places, I and the Father are one. And we know that there is a complete unity of the Father, Son, and Spirit. They are God. It's not they are gods, but they are God. And while that sometimes is very difficult for us to really fully comprehend and even in times explain it, they are God. They have expressed themselves. He has expressed himself in these three personalities and these three persons that we understand and know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have direct access in regard to that because of the work of Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name, for it is through his sacrifice that we have forgiveness of sins and indeed this direct and free access to the Father in heaven. And so we give great gratitude to him for that. And we are able then to ask in his name and know that the Father will grant those requests. Jesus reminded his disciples in another place that therefore, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so as we think of these things today, we want to remember that we have this direct access to the Father. Secondly, it has a theme of God's love and our union with Christ, the unity that we have because of his cleansing blood. He shows us that the Father loves the disciples because they have loved him. Do you love Jesus today? I've been in a couple of conversations recently, some conversations that were just struggling through and trying to find their way and be confident about some things, and a statement that just simply said, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." And therefore, their commitment is to continue striving and continue in the work of knowing God. And I love Jesus. My friend, it's because we have been loved by God, and because we love God, that we have this fellowship with God. And it is through, indeed, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes from our relationship with him. And that's the basis. I mean, his work for us is the basis of the demonstration of God's love toward us. And then this other theme is the reality of tribulation and the fact that in the tribulation, we will be overcomers. We will be conquerors. We will be overcomers. The one of the translations that many of us might have grown up on uses that phrase in that final verse. Get back to the right page. In that final verse, because Jesus said to him, you will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. But we might be more familiar with hearing, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have struggles, but be courageous. Do not fear, for I have overcome the world. And so there is that theme of tribulation and overcoming and the demonstration and the reality that Christ himself has overcome the world. We also find in the same passage the theme of the importance of prayer and the difference that being able to approach the Father makes for us. It underscores the importance of prayer in the name of Jesus and suggesting that God hears and grants our prayers because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we give thanks to him for that. And then we find this final theme of finding peace in Christ. Despite our challenges and our trials that we face, that the disciples faced along the way, we find assurance that both with his disciples, they will find peace in Christ and we as well. And as they find peace in Christ, they will remember that he has overcome the world. And you can turn that around. As he has overcome the world, we can find our peace in him. For he is the one in whom we put our trust and dependence upon. And so today, I wanted to share these three final conclusive thoughts about this passage. Because I think it's important for us to remember the emphasis of God's unwavering love and grace. His unwavering love and grace. Have you received the love of God? Have you ever found the love of God to fail? And I think that as Christians, we need to have that confidence that the love of God does not fail, it cannot fail, it will not fail. For he is love. The very first thing that we need to grasp about God is that he is love. He is a creator, he is magnificent in every way, and he is beyond all that we can even begin to think or imagine. But he is, in his essence, love. And that is how he has revealed himself to us. And that is why he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, that is the demonstration of God's perfect love for us, right? That is his absolute highest expression of love that there could be, that one would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love, the Bible says, has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus says, following that, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And so we have God's unwavering love. and it never fails. We also have his unwavering grace. I will tell you that having walked in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ since about the age of 9 years old, I have had many times of struggle. I have had many times when I've recognized that there was a sinful attitude and a sinful behavior and a thing that I knew was displeasing to God that would have been the reality of all of my sin along the way. And I discovered that the grace of God was sufficient for all of that. You see, here's the reality. One of the things that everyone has to come to, the conclusion we have to come to, is that yes, I agree that I'm a sinner. I agree that I'm a sinner. It doesn't matter that I was a preacher's kid. There wasn't a lot of sin lived out in front of me in my early years because my parents were very careful to live out their faith, both at church and in our home. The things that were spoken from the pulpit and in the Sunday school classes were the things that they were very intentional about us practicing in our home. Others of you who are preacher's kids would be able to say that to a certain extent in a number of places and ways. But the reality is this, at the same time as I didn't have a lot of that lived out in front of me in my home, I, being a human being who was created, yes, in the image of God, and yet a son of Adam, I am a sinner. I discovered and I realized that I could do some and have some of the most ugly thoughts and do some of the most ugly things in my experiences of life, and therefore I am a sinner. And I had to come to the place where I confessed that. And along the way through the years, you'd think that it would be easy, but it's not. To have walked with Jesus since being a child, you'd think that it might be easy to stay away from sinful thoughts and attitudes and sometimes practices and habits. But my friends, it's not. And I have had to repeatedly come to the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Even as 1 John 1:9 will tell us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, like every one of us, we need to remember that we have ready access to the foot of the cross to confess our sins and to be cleansed of unrighteousness in our lives. And in that, know that we are able to then again live in relationship with him and know that that is a part of the overcoming experience. A part of the overcoming experience. For as in Jesus himself had overcome the world, he made it possible that through his name, we ourselves can be overcomers and we can have that forgiveness of sin. We have his unwavering love and grace. Christ remains steadfast toward you and toward me. Not only do we have his unwavering love and grace, we have the power of faith and prayer. This is difficult sometimes. In our experiences in life, who do you know and who is around you that you look to as an encourager in your faith and in your prayer? I think that changes from time to time. We have a variety of relationships. Individuals in our lives come and individuals go. At times, individuals will be people who teach us so much in the early stages, perhaps, of our Christian walk, and then help us to grow and help us to demonstrate faith in our lives and as we work through the challenges with our families and our own personal struggles and the other circumstances around us. But we need people in our lives who will be encouragers and examples for us in this, in the power of faith and prayer. Most importantly, we need, though, to remember that through faith in Jesus Christ and by prayer in his name, we do draw strength and peace from God our Father. We're able to do that. But I want to encourage you, if you have received great encouragement and teaching from someone else, the most important thing for you to do is to pass it on. As a disciple who has grown up under good teaching and under good leaders and others around you, you need then to be one who demonstrates those same things to others as you walk in relationship to Jesus. And I know that many of you in your lives are able to do that, and you have done that, and you are doing that. And it's so important that we do that. But well, let's remember the power of faith and prayer. Now, I want to ask you just to even consider one thing right now. What is the most important? Maybe that's not the way I want to ask it. What is one thing in your life right now that you know you need to demonstrate faith in Jesus about? What is one thing in your life right now? Maybe it's a new circumstance that you're facing in life. Maybe it's something about a relationship or people that you love. Maybe it's something else completely. Maybe it relates to your job or whatever. But what is something that you need to have faith and practice faith and demonstrate faith in right now in your life? Perhaps there's a person that is growing in their faith that you need to just ask them to come alongside of you and pray with you and for you, that you would be able to step out in faith and trust that the Lord God is giving you this leadership. And in stepping out in faith, discover that He is faithful. You know, I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is faithful because we stop taking faith steps. And we need to do that as individuals, and we need to do it together as a body in Christ. And we need to take these steps in faith and know that we are able to approach the throne of grace through the name of Jesus. There is power in faith and in prayer. And we need to trust in that. Step out in faith. And then this last emphasis today is that we are overcomers with Christ. We are able to overcome the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. His victory over the world provides us with hope and courage, right? We wouldn't have any reason to have hope in God if it were not for Jesus, right? I mean, if we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have access to the Father. If we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have been given the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have Jesus, we would have really no place in which to place our hope. You see, it is His victory and His conquering power that gives us the hope that we have today. And we are going to face challenges. We're going to face tribulations. Things are going to be difficult at times. Sometimes it's hard to even imagine that things can be different. But when we know that Jesus has prepared something better, we are able to put our faith and our trust in Him. These final words that He said, "I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace." My friends, today, if there is a lacking of peace in your life, let me just encourage you. Remember Jesus. Remember what He has done. Remember the day of salvation for you when you came to that recognition. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I am separated from God. But yes, also, I believe that He died for me and that He rose from the grave. Yes, also, I believe that He is coming again, and that in all of what He has done, in His resurrection from the grave, He is an overcomer. He is one who is a conqueror. He is our conquering King. Remember that His victory over the world gives us hope, and we overcome through Him, who loved us and gave Himself for us. There is nothing that Jesus held back or is holding back, for He has given His whole life, and through His blood, we have forgiveness and hope. So let's remember God's unwavering love and grace. Let's remember the power of faith and prayer. And let's remember that we are able to overcome the world through Christ. You know, even saying it in that order seems a little weird to me. Remember that Christ has overcome the world and he's bringing me along with him. I really think that's the way to think about that. I'm not going to overcome the world. Well, it kind of says that I will through Christ. But he is the overcomer. He is the one who has conquered, and he has invited me to come alongside and along with. And because of his victory, I too am victorious. And we rejoice in that reality. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Where are you today in your walk with Christ? Are you needing to find that peace? Do you remember his unwavering love and his grace? Are you going through things right now that make you wonder? The reality is this. While we don't have something tangible that we can touch necessarily, I mean, we do have a brother or sister's hand that we can shake. We do have a neck that we can hug. And we know that there is the hope that is ours. And when we draw alongside of other people who live in faith, we also are encouraged by their strength and by their faith. Let us consider even how we stir one another up to love and good deeds. You see, that's because we stir each other up about our faith, about our trust in God. And that's why it's so important that we find those moments to be alongside one another. Because we know that God will never fail. Maybe you need to take a step today in your prayer life. Maybe there's something that you just let go for a while. And you, it's not that you made a decision. It's just that somehow the habits began to fail. And so you began to pray a little bit less, even about the daily things of your own life, even about the concerns with your family. Sometimes, you know, there may be a person in your life, whether it's a family member or a friend or a neighbor or whatever, that you used to, every time they came to mind, you began to pray for them because you knew that something weird was going to happen. You know, there are people in all of our lives like that. But who in your life have you failed to pray for lately? Is there maybe a new step in prayer and a new habit in prayer or a restored habit in prayer that needs to happen with you today? Let me encourage you to do that. And in prayer, practice your faith. In essence, prayer is the perfect expression of faith, for it tells the living God that we do believe that he is there and that he is listening. Sometimes it may not seem like it, but he is. And that's a step of faith and prayer. And then be overcomers. Let's do this for his glory and for his honor. And then let's figure out how to practice it better as a body in Christ, as a whole church, and live for his pleasure and his glory, seeing others come to know Jesus, putting their faith in Christ, and becoming a part of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for your presence and help with us. We thank you for your abiding presence that always enables us because of your unwavering love and grace. Lord, there is really no one in our lives that's like you. There is no other person who can do what you can do for us. There is indeed in our world no other God who is like you. And oh God, you are our God. We trust in you and we believe in you. Today, we pray that our trust will be in your love and grace. Our faith will be expressed through prayer and taking steps that demonstrate that we believe in you. And that in all of that, we along with you, Lord Jesus, enter into today and the future as friends and co-laborers and members of the family of the conquering King. Lord, we love you. We'd ask that you will move in a meaningful way in our lives. Father, however you have spoken in people's hearts today or in the past, we'd ask, Lord, that you'll help us to take these steps that will cause us to grow in our faith and become more like Jesus. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of commitment and response today. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. It may be that someone in the room has really never been at that place where they said, you know, I'm just now beginning to believe in Jesus. And I want to say I believe and I trust. I believe in his sacrifice for me and his blood that he poured out as an offering of sacrifice for me. I believe in the fact that he died and that he was buried. And I believe in the glorious resurrection that took place on the third day as he demonstrated that he was the conquering King, the one who was victorious over sin and the grave. And if that's true, and you want to put your trust and your faith in that Savior, acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need him, that you need his help, and receive his gift of life. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died upon the cross for me. And I believe also that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you now to come into my life. I repent of my sins. I choose now to leave my sin behind because I know that you're the way and the truth and the life. I know that you are my hope for everlasting life. And so I trust in you, Lord Jesus. If that's true in your life today, and you want to even make that commitment, if you need some help, I would invite you to come. I would love to pray with you to help you put your trust and your faith in Jesus. If there are other decisions that God is working in your life, then I would encourage you even to demonstrate those. And we thank the Lord for all that he does among us, and we give praise to him. Let's continue to do that. Let's sing together. Please stand as we sing, "The Savior is Waiting to Enter Your Heart."